game, barring a penalty, all the time in the world for Beck. Can anybody get open for him? He'll roll right, lets it go, finds his guy, touchdown! Johnny Harleen comes all the way across the field. Beck finds him, and it's a touchdown, and BYU swarms the field. They win it. John Beck, put it in your books, the Mountain West Conference Offensive Player of the Year.
Find 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard.
What a day.
Interesting day for sure. And joining us now, the receiving end of one of the more famous catches, touchdowns in BYU history, Johnny Harleen, kind enough to join us on the Smart Ring guest line. Johnny, how are you?
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, really quick, Johnny, I just want to remind everybody that in that game, you actually had three beautiful children. Three touchdowns, and everybody forgets about the other two, and they only remember the one, but people didn't even remember you had 120 yards and three touchdowns in that game. It wasn't just that one beautiful catch.
Yeah, it was that was very satisfying game for me, for sure. It started off right from the back, and really, I guess for me, a big part of it was like the year before, we lost, and I wish that I had done more and been more successful. I knew that they were gonna, the Utah played us a lot different than just about everybody in the year, kind of jamming / holding, at the line of scrimmage. And so it's like, I learned, I'm not gonna rely on the refs or anything to try to get like a penalty, because they're not gonna call anything. So it's like, I'm just gonna, handle it. And right from the get-go, the first play, I got my first catch, and a little drought in the middle of the game, I guess, but yeah, it was great to have success for our team, and of course, for me personally, it felt good too. So,
what was that battle like? Because I know you and Eric Weddle got matched up quite a bit in that game. What was that individual battle like?
Well, I messed up a few times with him, or he messed up with me, I guess I'd say. But Casey Evans on me a lot. Who was it? McCain, just a couple times. So there were a lot of guys on me. Smith was on me several times. So it was kind of a mixture. I'd say Eric Weddle out of everybody. I mean, obviously just an outstanding player and successful NFL career. And, and he was tough, and he was the only one that wasn't guarding me without just trying to like hold me, like I would get past the other guys, and literally a lot of, like, the year before especially, they just grab on the back of my shirt and just follow me wherever I went. And Eric Weddle stayed with me the whole time without even touching me, so quick, and he was great. So, but, so those guys, though, I think there's, like, three guys from the secondary that played in the NFL a long time, and so to have that kind of game against them, felt great.
I want to go back to something you just talked about, Johnny, because we had Max Hall on yesterday, and Max went into detail of how the year before affected the way he played the year that he won it. You talked about that loss the year before and how much that impacted you. Is that's really something that sits deep with you, huh? That's something you remember specifically, was how much that loss impacted your drive to get the win?
Of course it does, to a degree. I mean, it's not like all year long I'm sitting there just like, thinking in my head, like just looking at that. But yeah, you go and you work hard in the off season, but that was something that, to me, I was like, okay, that's just a technique that I need to be ready for, just kind of, and this is what I'm always, telling players and fans. It's like, look, you can't rely on the referees to like do anything for you. There's certain things they're not really going to call. Are they against the rules? Sure, but it's like, and I'm not trying to like make it sound like I'm complaining about it either. It's just like, that's just kind of the nature of the game. It's like, you at a certain point you got to take it into your hands. And I stopped talking to the refs at all, because it's like, it doesn't do any good. I'm just going to focus on what I need to do And so, you know, that was more the focus for me. Not that I was, like, you know, emotionally scarred all year long or something, but just that I knew that that was something to expect and to be ready for and have to, you know, be able to overcome.
Does it feel like 15 years ago?
Wow. 15.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's like that's how time goes, I guess. You know, in some ways it's like, yeah, it just feels like a few years ago. In other ways, I'm like, man, it's like a different lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy to think, because 15 years ago, remember, Johnny, after that season, you and Curtis Brown started hopping on air with us, and I think we did a season or two together in pre and post, and you had radio time. So just take us through a little bit. Where are you at now? And kind of enlighten BYU fans as to your family situation. I know you've had kids along the way, and you've done so many great things.
Well, so life is good, man. I after that, you know, after my senior year, I got, you know, chance to go a little bit in the NFL, did some practice squad stuff, and, you know, was kind of working my way in. Unfortunately, after that first year, tore my Achilles tendon, and just kind of wasn't able to get back into it, you know. And that's a tough, tough situation, you know, coming out, like, you know, statistically, I was the top tight end in the country that year. There were some great players, you know. We had you know, Greg Olsen and things coming out in that draft. And, you know, so you have these, like, really high expectations, and it kind of is a classic story of, you know, I was like, okay, this is going to be my life, and, you know, I'm going to retire in 10 years and be well off and kind of set. And you know, and that's how it happened. And that's, like, you know, and my whole identity as a person is so wrapped up into, like, you know, being an athlete and, like, you know, being one of the best players, and that's who I am. And all of a sudden, it's like in an instant, it's just, like, gone. And so I get in a situation where it's like, all right, well, I guess I need to figure out something else to do. I was, you know, married, you know, at the end of my senior season. And so we didn't have any kids at that point, but trying to figure out, like, okay, well, yeah, what am I going to do now? And I tried, you know, to get back playing. I did rehabilitated my Achilles and everything, but just, you know, couldn't get back in. So, you know, at that point, it's kind of like that identity crisis of, like, okay, what can I do and what do I want to do? And I don't know. I might be giving you a little bit more personal than you're looking for.
Oh, good. No, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm in that situation. I'm like, what am I going to do with myself, and what do I like, and what do I want to do? And then not only that, it's like, what am I good at? You know, it's like I could go to a job interview and I'm like, okay, well, I'm fast and I can jump, I can catch up all this. Like, that's not what anyone's looking for. it's like I kind of had to figure things out, and it took a while, you know. And I guess one of the tempting things is, like, sales jobs, because it's like there's so much potential for, you know, big, fast earnings, but that's just, I wasn't great at that. You know, I'm not that, especially at the time, that just, I just didn't have those types of skills really. So, kind of bounced around and tried a number of things. I've been teaching at Challenger School now for about 6-7 years, which is headquartered up in Midvale, I think, in Salt Lake, but I've lived down in Las Vegas now. So, yeah, we've got my daughter, Layla. She's 12, and she's in seventh grade. We've got our twin boys now that are in kindergarten. And so, yeah, and I really enjoy it. Another thing, you know, that I've been working on a lot is, you know, besides sports, I guess, the other thing that I knew that I really liked was music. And I've always played, you know, piano and guitar since I was a kid. So always trying to work on that type of stuff. I just finished working with a friend who asked me to do a movie score for this short film that he did. So that's my first time doing that, and hopefully I'll get more opportunities to do that too. So, yeah.
Wow.
So I want to go back, and I know you've explained this many, many times, but just from your perspective, how that play developed that ended up with you all alone on the other side of the field, kind of walk us through, where was the initial ball supposed to be going to, and how did it play out from your perspective out on the field?
Yeah. Okay, so we got down, you know, I think it's the 11-yard line, and we had time for two plays, and we tried on the first one to throw the fade to me, and I'm pretty sure it was Bryce McCain. He defended it real well. I usually was pretty successful on that route, throughout my whole career. So he defended it, but on the next one, it was actually the exact same play call, and this time they had McCain on me. They also put Weddle over the top of that of us, so that was kind of a no go there. And so, you know, there's trips on the other side. We had three receivers over there, and so, you know, John, you know, kind of the play is designed for him to make the read over there. But I know that at that point he kind of knew that he's not going to throw it until it's a sure thing, because of what had happened the year before. It was not that different of a situation. So I started kind of on the top side, and I saw the highlight today, and I forgot that I had done this, where I start on the top side, I start working towards across the field, and there, you can see me at a certain point where I come into like this tiny window, and I raise my arms up real quick, like I'm just like wide open, like throw me the ball, and it's like I'm looking at that, and I'm like, I'm not open at all. What am I doing? And, so I kept going across, and you know. I guess I would say at that point it's like you have certain rules and patterns you're supposed to follow, right? According to like the scramble drill, you're supposed to follow the quarterback, kind of find a lane. But as John went over, like everybody did that, and I'm like, okay, well, this is like the instance where I know that, like, I guess they didn't see that I'm not following them, like, you know, like you're kind of supposed to do. So I stayed back behind, and no one saw me back there. And I'm like, well, if John sees me, then, you know, there's nobody within 20 yards of me. So, and I know he's got the arm to check it back, and that's how it went.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Were you worried that he had the thrown across his body like that, that he had the arm to get it there? But it sounds like he had no worries about that.
Not really. I mean, he can check it, so. Tough throw, but he got it. I mean, I did, at first, I misjudged it a little bit, and that's why, you know, the dramatic slide in at the very end, I guess. But I thought it was going to make it all the way to me, but it's like, you know, pop fly or something in the outfield. You kind of got to judge it, and the last second I had to kind of run up for it. So, yeah.
So, Johnny, how close do you pay attention to the rivalry game now? Is it something that you build your week, your days around? Is it something that's just in the periphery? And also, would you have believed that Utah would go on a 9-game winning streak between 2010 and now?
Yeah. I mean, I follow it, you know, like it's – every time the Utah week comes around, you know, I get some phone calls and stuff. So it's like, yeah, I follow it, and I kind of know what it is. It's a little bit anticlimactic playing it at the beginning of the season. I think it was always a great tradition to kind of have everything leading up to that game a little bit, you know, to have a nice finish to the regular season. But Utah's just, they've got themselves into a position where they just have this mental edge, you know, and really it's like, I mean, they've won, I guess, yeah, the last 9, right, which is crazy. I wouldn't have expected that. You think BYU would be able to pick up a couple in there, but really it's like 20 years that Utah's kind of had the edge in the series, going back to, like, you know, in 2000 and 2001, it's like BYU pulled it off in the last second. Then Utah won, and then it wasn't until, you know, my senior year that we ended up winning, and then the next year we got a last-second, like, miracle play, you know, with Austin Colley and all of this, you know. So every time BYU has won in the last 20 years, it's like at the very end of the game, they barely have won, and, you know, and Utah has been able to, you know, pick up a bunch of those close games as well as a few blowouts. And so to me it's like, the only thing that is constant with all that, you have different coaches, different players, different schemes, all of these different things going on. And so really the only thing that has changed or that hasn't changed is just kind of that the mentality or the culture, just the way that the game is viewed of, I don't know, like Utah just seems to enjoy beating BYU, and BYU, they stress out about losing to Utah is kind of the way that it seems to me. So, yeah.
Well, Johnny, we appreciate it, man. It's always fun catching up with you. Glad to hear that things are going well for you in your life, and look forward to doing this again here soon.
Proud of you, Johnny.
All right, thanks. Good to talk to you guys.
You too, man.
Johnny Harleen right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Fun conversation.
He's doing well, too. I love hearing that he's doing well. And when he was going through some of the stages of his life, got a little PTSD because you start thinking to yourself, it's going to be a weird job interview.
Yeah.
Telling him I'm 315 pounds and I can move people. Yeah, but we're looking for more of a desk job guy.
Yes. Well,
I could move the desk.
Can you sell this medical equipment?
What would you say you could do, though?
I could throw it.
I'm a people person.
I could bend it. I'm a people person. Dang it.
Yeah. I can take large objects and put them on my chin.
How's that sound? So how's the dealio sound?
Yeah. Hands at Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network as we are live here at Rough Tough. And, you know, the great thing about being down here is the ability of the customization, whatever vehicle you have, whatever size truck, whatever make, model, whatever it is, you guys are going to find and design and put together a seat cover that will exactly fit whatever you need. Let's talk about what you got down here.
Well, we have all sorts of different seat covers for UTVs and cars and trucks and SUVs. And you're right. We try to customize. I mean, you could have a Dodge, it's Ram now, a Ram truck with 20 different possible rear seat variations.
Wow.
And we have to know them all. And part of my job as CMTO is the database that we're continuously updating so that we have all of those seat variations and we can help people try to pick the right one on the web.
I'm trying to help build a vision of what these seat covers are because people, yeah, Scotty and I grew up in farm era where you just threw a sheet on a truck bed because you got so much dirt and it's torn apart and it folds over and it gets nasty.
Yeah.
I want people to have a vision of how incredibly these seat covers are perfectly fitting different sewed patterns, different colors and variations, combining patterns with different sew stripes and different types of coloring, like, and all of it's just so fitted to the car seat.
You're right, Hans. And mentioning farms, I grew up working on a farm. This was back in the 70s, and seat covers were saddle blanket back then.
Yep.
We still do those. People are a little surprised. They're really popular. It's hard to fit so well. But we've got a lot of camos and imitation leathers and so on where the fit is so good that we'll take these seats to shows, to automotive shows where people know cars, and they'll be surprised that they're not upholstered. They're just seat covers.
Because they're so tight.
And we'll follow the contours of the seat, and everything we can do will allow for the airbags, the seat control buttons, everything.
That's really impressive. I mean, you got to come down and take advantage of this right now. We're going to give you a 10 or 15% off. Don't want to shortchange you there. We'll give you 15% off your order when you walk in or call in 800-453-8830 or come on by here to the corner of essentially 201 and Bangor Highway. It's 2252 South President's Drive. You'll see the Zone van out in front, but we've got a lot of giveaways. In fact, you come by, you can enter to win a $100 Shields gift card. We'll be giving away another Shields gift card throughout the show as well. We've got some Ford Zone all-you-can-eat tickets or all you can eat concessions at an upcoming Bees game too.
How cool is that? The all you can eat.
Yes.
Go out, watch the Bees game, be at the ballpark, head over, grab some food, come grab those.
So we've got that for you as well, and take advantage of that 15% off right now. It's here at Rough Tough, right on the corner of 201 and Bangor Highway, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Ready, we go. The long decade of independence for BYU is finally over.
Let's go!
Hey, 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 hey.
As the Cougars are Big 12 bound, keep it locked on the Zone Sports Network for all the latest breaking news. As the Cougars make the transition to the Big 12, your home for the best coverage of college football in Utah is right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. By the way, I just mentioned Mountain Mike's Pizza.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify, it's Mountain Mike's Pizza.
So you're not getting a dance and a pizza.
No, just the pizza. Yep.
Good to know.
Channing Tatum's not busting through the door.
Nope.
Holding a combo.
I figured, you know, our female audience might be interested, and maybe that, but no.
At some point, Lloyd will have that cut, and it will get played often.
I don't know. I think we got to be careful. That's a sponsor. We don't want
to. Maybe not today, but as we get the relationship worn in a little bit.
Oh, man. That's so good.
I mean, I was – but by the way, I was looking at that. I was not there at the remote, but I did see the photo that Johnny sent out, and I thought it was just like some stock photo of a pizza, you know. But, no, it was a real thing. That's how good those pizzas really look.
Well, yeah. Those pizzas are as attractive to me as the movie you suggested might be to others. They have the same effect.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love them very much. I love good pizza.
Oh, I know. I mean, honestly, if there's one thing out there that I'm like, if they're like, you have one thing to go to, I don't know. It might be pizza.
It might be pizza. Fresh onions piled high. I love fresh, deep onions on a pizza. I love fresh cut
mushrooms. You go peppers on your pizza?
I don't.
Really?
Mm-mm. Onions and mushroom, olives and sausage. Just a really good, I like it,
a really
right
good
amount of sauce.
And a good spicy sausage, too.
A good spicy sausage, a chunk sausage.
Yeah.
Something that's pulled apart and laid on there,
yep.
Fresh, uncooked, that bakes in the oven and puts that sausage juice in.
Yes,
the dough.
Yes, get that grease throughout that dough. You're right.
Oh, man, I'm just driving me nuts. I'm so hungry right now.
Did you just bite your lip?
He did.
Jeez, man.
I hate being so thick. I'm husky.
Dude, we're getting there, man.
I'm so husky.
No, you're not.
I am,
stop it.
I just want to eat Mountain Mike's pizza until I throw up on my lap.
And
I
then
eat it.
And then eat some more.
And after that, be like, whoa, okay.
I got more space.
You know, if you insist.
Johnny's saying they put a pound of cheese and 200 pepperonis on their 20-inch pizza.
Yeah, you can keep your pepperoni. I want my onion, mushroom, and sausage. You can throw olives on. If you got them, throw them on.
You know, I'm pretty.
The Big Show is hanging out at Magic Mike's Pizza.
Lloyd, I thought you said you were going to sit on that for a bit.
You've got to have good music behind that.
I needed to.
I'm
sorry.
We're going to let that go for a bit. You're going to let that one breathe.
One time.
Bit.
That's it. Now I'll take a break.
Oh, you are not capable of playing a drop just one time.
Get off those
wallets. I'm done.
Which, as good as that one is, as big of a mistake as that one was, there's no way you're going to sit on that.
I will. It's going to sit there, and I won't play it for a long time.
At least play when I realize what I did. I mean, like, we caught it pretty quick.
You did. You caught
okay,
it.
Okay, fine. I'll play that.
You were like,
The Big Show is hanging out at Magic Mike's Pizza right now. Magic Mike. How about that for a Big Show? Yeah, that's...
That's going to hang around.
That's going to hang around for a little bit, isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, boy. All right, let's get to it. Good, the bad, the ugly.
So here's the good. Scotty, this is the reason that I will always love Charles Barkley, and I'll always love Shaq, and that might be a cuss word in the state of Utah right now.
Not at all.
But I will always love Charles Barkley, and I will always love Shaquille O'Neal because they give their honest opinions. They don't care about feelings. Here's their honest opinion about Ben Simmons.
Those two kind of breaking down what we see out of Ben Simmons, and I think, frankly, it's not wrong. By the way, Good, Bad, Ugly brought to you by Zero Res. Get you on track to an A-plus in carpet cleanliness. The patented process cleans those carpets without soaps, shampoos, or harsh chemicals. Call right now, 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376.
So they obviously are unhappy about Ben Simmons and the way he's handling his contract. Here they are.
It looks like that the Ben Simmons Philadelphia 76ers experiment is going to end ugly.
Well, I'm disappointed in Ben Simmons. When you give somebody $200 million to dribble a stupid basketball, and the only thing you ask them is be better as a player, and their first response is, I don't want to play here anymore. That disappoints me as a player. It disappoints me as a fan. They're not saying, hey, come over here and cut my grass. They're saying, Ben, we need you to learn how to shoot the basketball.
I have G14 classification to say what I'm about to say.
Okay.
And so does Charles Barkley. Ben Simmons, you're not that good. And then in this league, do you want to be good or do you want to be great? You're not great. But if you want to get to that next level, you have to be great. And to be great, you have to work on your game. Don't be putting pictures on your Instagram or your Ferrari or what actress you're hanging around with. When you play for a town like Philadelphia, Boston, L.A., Miami, hard-working town, they don't give a shit about none of that. They want you right to come, work hard, and play hard. I was at that game six when that man didn't even look at the basket. And I know as a player, first thing I do is I look in the player's eyes. That man was out there terrified. Not terrified of playing, but terrified of being fouled and missing free throws. Forget all that.
What's crazy, when you see the videos that he put up, he's making those shots that he didn't take. Like, he's
making them,
hey,
yes.
Fice, I live in Philadelphia during the summer. This is the third year in a row they put up them bullshit jump shots during the summer. I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe anymore.
You know, a lot of these people, you know, you hear from your followers how good you are, how great you are. But you're hearing from some OGs right now. You ain't that damn good. And I said it, and I said what I said. And Chuck said what he said. If you don't like it, do what you got to do. But you ain't that damn good.
Bring it up.
Let's go.
Let's go. It's so
good. Yes, 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 yes.
It's so good, man. That's why you're going to always love those guys.
Barkley and Shaq, they are a national treasure.
Yeah. And I always listen. You know, I know that some of their takes are misinformed. Some of their takes, it feels like it's off the cuff and it isn't factual and it's not updated and it's – but that take, both of them are looking at the contract. Both of them are looking at the big crybaby. Both of them are looking at his game,
yeah,
saying, you're not that good. What are you doing? You're not that good, man. Get better. And then whine and cry about it. And I love the fact that they'll step out there and say that. Now, they'll also say to Donovan Mitchell, hey, man.
But how did Donovan respond?
You're not that good.
Okay.
Donovan said, all right. And Donovan went out and proved him wrong. And to the point where Shaq's like, hey, you know what?
Yep.
He's on his way.
I love those guys. Love them.
But, I mean, that's why you listen to those guys is – number one, the entertainment value is always just through the roof. I mean, it's just entertaining to hear those guys talk. And then number two, look, I know that they're not going to break down analytics. I know that they're going to miss on a few things, and you got to understand that. But when I'm hearing a guy talk about an individual player, about what it takes to be great, those guys know what it takes to be great. I think you're seeing a new generation of NBA fans that forget how great Charles Barkley was. Yeah. Charles Barkley was great. There's a reason he's in the Hall of Fame. There's a reason he's considered one of the, top maybe, 15 players to ever play the game. The dude was elite. And when I want to talk about a player
being
great,
he was elite with skill.
These are the guys you want to hear from because they know what it takes to be great.
So Shaq said I got – was it G15 classification?
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
G14.
G14 classification, so I can say what I'm going to say. Shaq – God gave Shaq things that made Shaq great. God gave Barkley things that made Barkley great. Barkley and both Barkley and Shaq had an inner drive, an inner nastiness, an inner dominance that was undeniable and larger than life. So I think they do have the right to say the things that they want to say. And, yeah, I do listen.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love their honesty. They're not afraid how Ben Simmons is going to react.
No.
They don't care that Draymond Green might be in the studios with them during halftime. They tore apart Draymond Green. And guess what? Guys still respect them because they know they're the greatest to ever play. Some of the greatest to ever play.
But I love the fact, hey, stop taking pictures of you with an actress. Stop taking pictures of you and your Ferrari.
Nobody gives a beep.
Nobody cares. Go out there and learn how to shoot a three ball.
And stop posting videos of you shooting a three ball. Because yeah. You know you're not going to take that shot when
you're
the game's on
the
line.
In the game, yeah.
Game seven.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We are 45 minutes away from giving away a pair of tickets to BYU and Utah. We're also giving away a $100 gift card. All you have to do is come on by, say hi to Johnny, put your name in a hat or whatever we have here that we can do a drawing out of, and we can get you a $100 gift card to Shields. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We're live here at Rough Tough on the corner of 201 and Bangor Highway. It's 2252 South President's Drive. You can also just put in Rough Tough into your GPS and it'll get you here, RUFFTUFF. Or you can call and get 15% off right now, 800-453-8830. That's 800-453-8830 right here on The Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Jazz superstar Donovan Mitchell on The Big Show.
Do you have a message to Jazz fans? What's on your mind moving forward as far as the Jazz go?
We're going to come out with a fire and edge, and you know, we're ready to work. That's the biggest thing. We haven't necessarily gotten to where we want to get to. We put together some good seasons, you know, and there's some seasons where I come home and people forget that we lost in the first round of Denver. But based on that first round, you thought we went to the conference final. But, you know, it's truthfully as we haven't. So we got some work to do, and we're going to put the work in as a group. We're going to do it. Not just myself. It's going to be take all of us, and you know, we brought everybody back, you know, but we've also made some good additions. I'm excited for this year, and let's get to it.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Remember, we're about 15 minutes away from Brian Johnson joining us. Former Ute great, led that Ute team in 08, and now the quarterback coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. We will talk to him coming up here in about 15 minutes. But before that, an edition of Whole World News, Hands.
Well, you know, I love the animal kingdom as much as the human race, and I've got a deep respect and love for the animal kingdom. And it's kind of a hard day for animal lovers because the oldest known penguin named Mochika, who has lived in the Oregon Zoo his entire life, passed away today. Would you like to take a guess at the age of the oldest known penguin in captivity, or was the oldest known penguin in captivity?
35.
Really close. 31.
Really?
Really close. 31 years old, Mochika lived an extremely happy life. He loved to entertain and greet the different visitors to the zoo. He would flap his tiny short wings and waddle. He would swim after different fish minnows. He would dance with the other penguins. He was a full zoo entertainer. He'll be remembered, commemorated, and loved for generations to come. Long live Mochika.
Well,
as you join the
not living anymore.
As you join the council of Harambe and Leo.
Wow, you actually got Harambe's name right.
Harambe.
You got mad because I, for a long time, I thought it was Hey Hombre, but I
oh,
did,
that's right.
Yeah,
Hey Hombre.
I did go back, and it is. I want to show a little respect. But 31 years old, that little guy. You want to see what a 31-year-old penguin looks like, Scotty?
Not really.
He looks 31.
Looks like a penguin. Wow. Looks like he's lived a rough life there.
Well, you can tell that beak has partaken in much a fish. It's quite wrinkled.
By the way, I forgot to send this to you. I was driving and saw a big truck with a license plate that said,
Harambe. Yeah.
On the license plate. And that's a Utah license.
I know. Plate. Yeah, no, it was just down in Utah County.
Somebody showing respect. I love that you took the picture of it.
Yeah. Wasn't the safest thing I've ever done, but I'm like, I got to get a picture of this.
Scotty and I love our animal council in the sky.
Yeah.
Gus, welcome in Mochica.
At least Muchacho there, or whatever.
Mochica.
Okay, whatever. Was
Muchacho and Hey Hombre?
Yeah. At least he died of natural causes.
Natural causes. Sweet little
Some
guy.
Some dentist with a rifle didn't make his way into the...
Man. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
The trees stand up there.
Yeah.
Was that...
Took down Muchacho from 200 yards. All right, Hans and Scotty, Dean's hanging out with us. We're live here at Rough Tough. Dean's the guy. You've been here the whole time, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much. We started in 76. I've been here since 82. So
82.
Wow.
That is incredible. And you're the guy doing all the cutting and doing all the work to make this thing happen.
Well, we got a good team out here. I can do a lot of the stuff, but again, it wouldn't happen with all the great people we have, from the sowers to the cutters to – and that, and again, I always say we've got a big family and great team. So,
from a technology standpoint, how much different is things now as opposed to 1982?
Oh well, you guys have been through the shop. We have the cutting machines out there, and there was the days that when I first started, we did the universal buckets, hundreds at a time. Now everything's custom made, one at a time. But for periods of time, we would actually cut every order individually with a template. A razor knife thing, cut every part out and everything else. So it's come a long ways with the advances in the computer technology and all that stuff. So.
Which has improved the product too.
Oh yeah. More consistency. Oh yeah.
But one thing's never changed. I mean, the exactness, because you want that seat cover to fit snug and perfectly on every make and model out there.
Oh yeah, so the attachment systems and everything else, we want to make sure it fits, stays on well, and it's going to last a good long while. I mean, I've got it really good here. I get a new set of seat covers. Basically, I get a new truck every couple of years because I can just redo the interior. So.
Yep.
I want to make this really clear to all of our listeners, and Dean, you know this. You guys don't have to offer a single percentage off. You guys are busy.
Oh yeah.
But I want people to know that Rough Tough has done us a big favor for our listeners, and you're offering 15% off while we're here during the remote.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like I said, we've been busy. But, again, we want the people here in the state to come and see us and come see the product we make, and hopefully we can get them set up with something.
Well, come down here. Again, you're going to get 15% off if you walk in. And we want you to come down here because we've got a lot of stuff for you. I've got B's tickets to the Ford Fan Zone with an all-you-can-eat concessions ticket. That's yours for free. We've got some food. We've got some jazz gear. And you'll get 15% off. You'll also get 15% off if you call 800-453-8830. And if you come by the address again, just on the corner of 201 and Bangor, it's 2252 South President's Drive. You'll see the Zone van out in front. Come by. Also put your name in the hopper for a chance to win a $100 gift card to Shields. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Brian Johnson joins us next.